Numbers 13, verse 1. 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, let me stop and explain what's going on here and where we're at. Children of Israel's been in captivity. They've been under oppression in Egypt. They began to cry out. God sent Moses. You remember the story of the Exodus. Moses shows up, let my people go, 10 times, 10 plagues. Finally, Pharaoh lets them go. So God delivers them from Egypt. The miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. The children of Israel get safely across. What becomes an escape into life for them became death for Pharaoh and the armies that were pursuing them, and now they're on the other side. They have gone through a wilderness travel, wilderness journey. They finally, after some time of wilderness wanderings or journey, come to the Jordan River. Now the Lord says, on the other side of the Jordan River is the land that I have promised you. So he gave it to them. Notice verse number 2, which I give unto the children of Israel. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. Now what I'd like you to do is pick 12 men, one man, trusted man. Has this still got a ring in it? You have to turn it down just a tad more, okay? What I want to do is I want you to pick one man, trusted, godly, elder of the tribe, 12 of them. I want you to go spy out the land. Now look right up your church, because I'm going to help you with something right here, very practical. There's a reason we left the denominations. There's a reason we detest the denominational mode of governing the church. God did not send a committee over to come back and decide whether or not they should go into the land of Canaan. He sent spies over, 12 spies to go over and spy out the land and come back with a plan as to how to go in there, how best to go in and do what God had said to do. And so God had told Moses what to do. Moses picked out 12 men, go figure out how we can get it done. He didn't ask them to come back and say, we can't do it. He said, go figure out the best way to get it done. All right, that's what's happening so far. And then verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelt thereof, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the Lord, land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first strip grapes. Now jump down, if you will, to verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron. They've gone. The 12 went in. Now they came back. Here's their report to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, and said, we came unto the land, whither thou sendest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people are that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we are in our, watch this, we are in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So they bring back an evil report. Now stay with me. You've been patient. Let's stay with this a minute. So they've left Egypt. And they crossed over the Red Sea, and now they've gone through the wilderness. And God says, you've done well. You've gone in the direction I've pointed. Every time the cloud moved, the people followed it in the right direction. The pillar of fire, the people followed it in the right direction, all the way to Jordan. And now we are going to go across, and we're going to inhabit this new land. But we need to spy it out so we have an idea of using what tactic to use, which direction, how to go, how to approach it. But the spies that came back to bring just information decided that they were going to usurp the will of God and usurp the leadership that was given. And so they came back and brought an evil report and said, we shouldn't go in. Now, I want you to listen, folks, to verse number one. Watch this. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness, and whereof hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So this is the result of the evil report. These are trusted men, 12 men, heads of each tribe. If anybody should have been able to go over and do what they were told to bring back and show responsibility and trust and leadership in God, then you think it would have been these men. But they brought back an evil report, discouraged the hearts of the people. Now we have murmuring. Now we have complaining. Now we have rebellion. Now we have a revolt. Notice, if you will, verse number 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Let me ask you this. Is at this point God pleased with them or displeased with them? Displeased with them. Let's pray, and then I want you to give me a good hearing. This is going to help, I think, some of you that are new Christians. This is going to help many of us that are veteran Christians as we look to answer this question this morning. What does it mean to be a good Christian? What does it mean to be a good Christian? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would use this time to help us, Lord, in some self-evaluation. God, may we learn, as we are told in the New Testament, that the children of Israel were given, and all that they went through were given as an example to us, an example for us, so that we do not make the same mistakes that they made. And so we would ask, Lord, your help in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What does it mean to be a good Christian? You may say, Pastor, am I a good Christian? Am I a good Christian? Sometimes people in the congregation will look at somebody else in the congregation and they'll say, you know what, that person is a good Christian. At times I've had people come and say, Preacher, I just don't feel like I'm a very good Christian. I went to a young lady just recently, I'm proud of this young lady, wasn't born here, wasn't raised here, wasn't carried into the nursery, didn't have some of the advantages of some of the young ladies that had that opportunity. And I pulled her off the side and I said, I want you to know this. I'm proud of you, number one, and number two, I think you're one of the best Christian girls we have around here. And she literally looked at me with a look of shock on her face, and she said, but I'm not. And I said, but you are. You say, Preacher, why would you say that to that young lady? I'm going to explain why I said that to that young lady. I don't just throw things out for throwing it out. I'm not into flattery. But there were some qualities that I saw in this young lady that made me say, even though, by the way, she may not be where some of our other young ladies are yet, but she is a good Christian. What does it mean to be a good Christian? Now, let me show you this. I want to give you a visual. All you young men, look up here. I can teach you something. I can help you with something. By the way, I'm proud of these young men on the front row here. I'm proud of all of our young men. I'm proud of a lot of you young people that are coming in on buses. And you may come in here and say, Preacher, I come in on Sunday morning and you know what, I don't have Christian parents, and I look around at all these good Christian kids and I don't feel like I'm a very good Christian. I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you, because I think the Lord's going to help you. We've got some new converts, and I think sometimes you're just overwhelmed by all of this, and you feel like, Preacher, I'm trying to play catch up, and I look around, and I think, you know what, I don't even know if I can do this, and I'm not, maybe I'll never be a good, you know what, you may this morning be a good Christian, you don't even know it. I want you to, by the way, I think there's people in here that think you're a good Christian and you're not. I want you to listen very carefully what I'm going to have to say this morning. Here's the children of Israel. They're in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And so this is a picture of us being lost. And God sends a deliverer. And aren't you glad God sent a deliverer to us, Jesus Christ? And so the blood was shed and applied. The Passover, are you with me, church? And so finally Pharaoh said, I'll let you go. If you study the New Testament, Old Testament together, you'll know that the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. And so you have salvation with the application of the blood. The passing through the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. Now we have the wilderness journey. And by the way, everybody after they get saved and baptized and are a new Christian have to have this wilderness journey. Okay? I know that they're going to end up 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That wasn't within the will of God. But the initial wilderness journey to the Jordan River was. One of these days I'm going to teach this. But I promise you, Brother Paul, study this thing out. From the events that happened from the crossing of the Red Sea to Jordan, everything that happened are specific things that young Christians must learn if they're going to be ready one day to cross over into the victorious Christian life, all right? So Egypt is a picture of us being lost. And then we apply the blood and we're saved, go through the Red Sea. And you know what? We follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We are in this new convert, now born again, babes in Christ, learning. And you know what? If you study this journey, they didn't get it all right. I mean, they didn't react properly to everything. But you know what? Watch this. Every morning that the cloud appeared and headed towards Canaan, they followed it. Every night when the pillar of fire, they followed it. So they're heading in the right direction. I didn't say they're always doing the right things. We could go and study that portion and be very critical sometimes of their murmuring and their complaining and their lack of faith and all this. But you know what? It's a picture of a new Christian. But listen to me. They're in Egypt. They apply the blood. Watch this. They apply the blood. Is God pleased with them for applying the blood? Is God pleased with them for applying the blood? All right, then they go through the Red Sea. Is God pleased with them for following in baptism? Yes, and then, yeah, they don't get it all right, but they're heading in the right direction, and they follow the cloud, and they follow the pillar of fire, and they're going in the direction that God wants them to go. Now watch this. God's happy with them. I didn't say that He was always pleased with their everything in their life, but He was happy that every morning they followed Moses, their leader. They followed the pillar of fire and the cloud, and they were heading in the right direction. They were going this direction. Then they get to the Jordan River. Jordan River, I believe, pictures us crossing over into the victorious Christian life. You've learned the lessons you've needed to learn. And so now you're ready to go out and conquer, and you're going out there to gain ground. You're getting ready to go out there and fight and battle, and you're getting ready to go out there and possess what the Lord has. Listen, God didn't just save you. He saved you for a reason. He saved you to accomplish something. He saved you to do something. Okay, young people, He didn't just save you to save you. You don't mean me. You mean full-time Christian workers. No, I mean you. I mean the young couple that's sitting in here, and you're still trying to figure it out. I'm talking about the new convert. You haven't been saved very long. Well, why did God save me? Because there's something He wants you to accomplish and do. There's ground He wants you to possess for Him. Now, let me go back here again. They applied the blood. Is God pleased with them?
Yes, sir.
All right. They passed over the Red Sea. Is God pleased with them? All right. They are heading and following the Lord's leading and heading in the right direction. Is God pleased with them? And so they go forward. Now all of a sudden they get to the Jordan River. God is going to, would like to, split the Jordan like He split the Red Sea. He's going to let them walk over on the dry ground. He's going to let them watch Jericho's walls fall down. All the victories are waiting for them. But watch this. 10 out of 12 men came back and said, you know what? We can't do that. It's too hard. It's too much. Yeah, it's a fruitful land. By the way, that land over there has a lot of blessings. Has a lot of blessings. But we can't do it. Discouraged the heart of the people. They start murmuring and complaining. They start saying, oh, we should have died back in Egypt. Well, if they wanted to die back up in Egypt, they were giving them plenty of opportunity to do it. They should have just stayed there and died. We should have died in the wilderness. You know, we're now. And they start crying and complaining. Watch this. And they did this. They turned around and they headed back this direction. Is God pleased with them now?
No, sir.
No, he's not. Matter of fact, you know what he says to Moses? He said, I'll tell you what, I've had it. One man said this, if Moses and God ever agreed at the same time, those children of Israelites would have been annihilated. There was times Moses came to God and said, kill them. God said, I can't do that. And there's times God came to Moses, I'm going to kill them. Oh, please don't do that. You know, if they ever got together, man, there'd been nothing left of Israel, you know. But watch this. Watch this. He turned around, and now they're heading this way. Okay. Now, let me answer the question. Preacher, what does it mean to be a good Christian? Let me give you a very, very simple answer. Very simple answer. A good Christian, boy, you ought to write this down somewhere. A good Christian is a growing Christian. A good Christian is a growing Christian. Now, what does it mean to be a good Christian? Let me just stop before I go any farther and say this, answer this question. What does it mean to be a Christian? Can I take a moment and not assume that everyone here is saved? Have you ever been born again? Preacher, I hear people talk about salvation, being saved, being born again. I'm not sure I even understand what all that means. What does it mean to be a Christian? If you ought to take a moment right now and ask the God of heaven to help you, and you ought to take from the point you're alive right now, look at the time back on the timeline of your life, from where you are now to back as far as you can remember to where you were born, and you ought to search out for this a place on the timeline of your life where you were saved. What do you mean by being saved? Was there a time where you fell underneath Holy Spirit conviction of sin? You knew that you were a sinner and you felt the convicting power of God upon your life over your sinfulness. Was there a time in your life when you felt the drawing of the Father? Because Jesus said, no man cometh to me unless the Father draw him. Did you understand who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, spoke on the deity of Christ? Praise the Lord for that. Did you understand the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection? Jesus died for your sins, according to the gospels, was buried, and the resurrection rose again. Is there somewhere on the timeline of your life where you could look back and find that spot where I was under conviction of sin, I was being drawn by the Father, I understood that Jesus was the Christ, I understood he died for my sins, was buried and rose again, and I turned by faith to him and received him as my Savior? Many of you in this room, if I gave you opportunity, could get up and give testimony and say, preacher, I know the place, I may not know the exact moment or date, but I can go back in my mind to the time when I was born again. If you cannot find that, listen to me. Please hear me. You know what? Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you've never been saved, you ought to settle that. Well, I kind of think I might be. You're gambling with eternity. I didn't say go back and look on the timeline of your life and find out where you joined a church, or where you got baptized, or where you're in the hospital and you prayed that God would help you to feel better and he got you out of the hospital, so surely you must be snow. Did you find that place and time where you felt under conviction of sin, felt the drawing of the Father, understood who Jesus was, understood the gospel, and received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you can find that, you're saved. If you can't find that, you need to be saved today. So that's what it means to be a Christian. But what does it mean to be a good Christian? The answer is this. A good Christian is a growing Christian. A good Christian is a growing Christian. See, I think there's three mistakes we make when we try to define success in the Christian life. I'm going to give those to you, and I want you to think through these things with me. Three mistakes we make. See, a lot of times what we do is we look at each other, and we start putting people in categories. They're a good Christian, they're not a good Christian. They're a bad Christian, they're a mediocre Christian, they're a great Christian. And I'm not sure we see things the way God sees things. Now watch this, folks. God is pleased with anybody who applies the blood, follows the Lord in believer's baptism, and is willing to head in the direction that God is leading them, is willing to follow God. Now watch this very carefully. Let me see. I'm going to get some guys up here. Let me have you and you and you up here. Let me have you three guys come up here. Watch this. Right, come on up here, all right? Not everybody gets saved at the same time. This is where things differ with us. The Israelites all took this journey together, but I got saved a long time before you got saved. And so let me just have all of you guys start over here into Egypt a minute, okay?
And this guy starts out and he gets saved and he gets baptized. And we're so proud of him. And yeah, he's a new Christian, but he's making headway and he's following God. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't make mistakes and blow it. And by the way, come on, Christians. All right, stop it. All right, stop grabbing stones every time somebody stumbles and falls a little bit. Okay, you want to talk about your life? You want to get up and give testimony how you've never made a mistake? I mean, your Christian life was boom, got saved. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, and it hasn't been. So he messes up from time to time, but you know what? Watch this. Just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And you know what? He says, okay, I learned my lesson. And by the way, every time the pillar of cloud comes or every time the fire shows up and it heads off, you know what? He heads in the right direction. And God's happy with you when you applied the blood and happy when you got saved. And he's happy with you. And so you're traveling and you're traveling and you're traveling and you're traveling. Whoa, right there. You stay there and you're heading in the right direction, okay? Where are you going? Man alive, you're not... You just about lost good Christian status right there, man. Don't lose that. Now, a few years later, here comes a guy, and he goes through the same process, you know. But he's a couple years behind him in growth and experience and whatnot, so he's right here, okay? Now, you just came here this morning. And you're a man, look at this guy, wicked sinner. I mean, good night. I smell, alcohol on his breath. Got Marlboros in his pocket. This guy's a mess, you know. But he got invited to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and he comes and he hears salvation, hears about the resurrection in Sunday school, and hears the gospel, and he falls under Holy Spirit conviction, and he feels the drawing of the. Remember that? Remember when you felt like you had to hold on to the pew or you were going to be physically dragged? Remember that drawing of the Father? Listen, the Lord won't make you get saved, but he will urge you to get saved. He'll put the pressure on you. And man, the gospel made sense, and this guy gets saved, and you know what? He says, preacher, I want to get baptized, and he gets baptized. And man, he's just starting out. All right, now, watch this. All three of these guys are dressed real good here today. Oh, yeah, they just are. They just look like Blessed Hope kids. But let me say this. This guy, at this stage, probably isn't going to be dressed like this. Are you listening to me, church? He's not going to be dressed like this. Okay, his hair's not going to be... Man, you need a haircut. Look at this, man. You got some of it on. Yeah. It's kind of cute, actually. Now, here's the deal. You either got to cut it this week or curl it this week. That's the deal, all right? So, I know. I just got one yesterday. I'm getting that, wow, man, I'm not going to be able to preach tomorrow if I don't find time to get a haircut, you know. So, but here he is. You know what, man? When the preacher says, turn to the book of Acts, he's looking around. He goes to the table of contents. He's trying to figure out, you know, Old Testament. By the time he finds it, I've got him in Ephesians. You know, he just like gives up. You know, I'll just flop it open and act like I'm there, you know, because everybody else is, all right. Sword drills, good night. He don't even know how to hold the Bible. I mean, you know, this is a new convert. But you know what? Let's watch this. When he hears something from the Lord, when he hears something from the pulpit, when the Holy Spirit teaches him something new, he's willing to do it. He don't know it all because he hadn't been here long enough to know it all, but he's willing. Lord, if you'll show me the next step that I need to take, I'll take that next step. Okay, and he's by the way, he's following the same God he's following, and he's following the same God he's following, and he's, listen, you know what? He's just not as far as advanced. Watch this. We a lot of times look at, now this guy's somewhere in the middle, okay? I don't smell alcohol, but he hadn't got rid of the Marlboros yet. They're still there, all right? No, he's made it some distance, okay? He's coming along. And by the way, he's in better shape than that guy as far as what we can see. And this, now what, this is what we say. We say, this is a good Christian, and this is a mediocre Christian, but he's trying. And this guy here, oh, God help us. He's not, pastor's not going to really let him keep coming here, is he? Yes, I am.
Come on, man.
Yes, I am. You better believe I am. Amen. This is what we're about. Okay, now, watch this. God doesn't say that. He doesn't say good Christian, mediocre Christian, bad Christian. He says good Christian, good Christian, good Christian. Why? Because a good Christian is a...
growing Christian.
A good Christian is a...
growing Christian.
Listen, God's concerned about two things. Let me just help you. I'm going to simplify your Christian life and help you. Help all of you. Please listen to him. He's really, see, we tend to look at people and we want to put them in categories. When God looks at you, he looks at two things. He says, which way is he pointed and is he willing to take the next step? Which way is he pointed and is he willing to take the next step? Now, folks, listen to me. A lot of times, what we don't consider when somebody gets saved, and boy, I want to help Blessed Hope Baptist. I want to help veteran Christians. Are you looking? Are you listening to me? I want to help veteran Christians right now. Listen, not everybody had the same starting point you did. Some of the people in this church that I'm the most proud of are the ones that aren't nearly as far down the road as some of you that were born and raised here. But let me say this, they've had to overcome a lot of things you didn't have to overcome. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? I mean, before you go pronouncing judgment on somebody, maybe you ought to think about where they came from. A lot of people didn't get a chance to be raised in a Christian home. A lot of people didn't get saved till they were adults. I sometimes have to tell some of our young people, hey, give your mom and dad a break. Cut them some slack. Consider the upbringing they had. Consider the journey they had to make. And by the way, one of the reasons they're working so hard to keep you in this place and they put you in a good church and they've enrolled you into Christian school is they're trying to give you a chance that they didn't have. Okay, cut them some slack. Good night. I watch parents love their kids. And you know what? Sometimes I watch kids outpace parents in Christian growth. And you know what? Then the kids want to get some snotty attitude. Listen, they're giving you a chance they didn't have. Don't you become a Pharisee to your parents. You love your parents. You be proud of your parents. Okay, not everybody starts in the same place. We have some people that get saved around here. And you know what? They were born and parents were Christians and they brought them to church and man, they had them in VBS and Sunday school, and because of that the kid gets saved early on and they don't have a bunch of baggage, and then, by the way, they have to get saved the same way, but I'm just saying they don't have a bunch of stuff they got to overcome. But other people may not get saved till they are on into their life and they've made mistakes and they've got to overcome some things and they got battles that you can't understand or won't believe. And sometimes you see slower growth in them and you start nitpicking. Listen, folks, a good Christian is a growing Christian. What God wants to see is whether or not you're pointed in the right direction. And if are you, do you have a willing heart that if God were to show you what the next step of growth is, would you be willing to take it? And if you say, preacher, I'm not everything I know I should be, and I get it. But I want to follow the Lord. And if God in this morning's message teaches me something I can do, I'll take that next step. Then you're a good Christian. That's a good Christian. By the way, if you're willing to do that, you're a good Christian. And if you're willing to do that, you're a good. That's how God looks at it. Watch this. Watch it, folks. Listen to me. I heard Pastor Jeff Fugit. I think I've mentioned this from the pulpit a few times, but I was doing some work at the house one day when we were adding on to our house, and I was out there in evenings working, doing carpenter work and stuff. I used to listen to sermons, and he said something that I thought was great. I want to say it to our congregation this morning. Brother Fugit was preaching on a Sunday morning. He said something along these lines. Folks, we've had a lot of folks come in, and we're thrilled. We love you. Thank you for coming. Some of you have joined the church. Some of you are contemplating joining the church. He said, let me just tell you two things that you need to know if you're going to become a part of Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church. He said, number one, we will accept you where you are. We will accept you where you are. He said, I want you to know that. Number one, as pastor, I will accept you where you are. Number two, I will want to take you from where you are and grow you. Okay? I don't care where you're at today. Oh, preacher, you don't understand all my up. You don't understand the mess. Listen, I don't care. I'll take you from where you are. But if you're determined to stay where you are and you're not willing to grow and you're not willing to learn, then you know what? You're not probably going to like it here. Because I'm going to irritate you. I'm going to do it on purpose. You know what? That's my job. Now I'll be patient. Thank God that God was patient with me. But listen, I don't have a problem with a new Christian that comes into our church and knows they got a lot of growing to do and has a heart to learn and grow. Listen, the people that come in that I can't help are the ones that come in and think they've arrived. Well, the minute you think you've arrived and you don't think there's one more step, there's no growth, there's nothing else for you to accomplish, I mean, you are the shining example of what every Christian should be, then you know what? I can't help you because, listen, none of us have arrived until we come to the likeness of Christ. And folks, I've looked around and looked in the mirror and none of us has gotten there. Okay. So let me just say that. I'm glad that you're here. And I will accept you where you're at. But listen to me. Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to consider what the Bible says? When the Holy Spirit comes and tells you about something that you need to change or do, are you willing to take that next step? And folks, listen, we don't get from here to here overnight. We get to here from here by the Holy Spirit teaching us. Growth is by grace. It's a grace walk. It's one step at a time. It's one victory at a time, one change at a time. And you know, we just take this journey and we go on till we get to heaven. And that's a good Christian. All right. So number one, we fail to consider a person's starting point. Hey, when you got saved, you didn't start the same place where Ron Allen got saved. All right. Are you with me, church? Some of you don't know who Ron Allen is. The little book, Grace Will Lead Me Home, that we make available around here. I mean, Ron Allen, his wife finally talked him to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church because she had gotten saved and finally convinced him to come. He was a lost man. He'd pull in out there. His wife would come into church. He'd sit out there, said, I'll be in there in a minute, chain smoke 5 or 6 cigarettes, chug down 3 or 4 beers, thinking to himself, if I get enough booze on my breath and walk in the back door, someone will smell it and they'll throw me off the property and I can get my wife off my back. Okay, folks, he was already well into his 50s.
Yes, sir.
He was lost. Had a little bit of time when he was in church as a boy, but hadn't been in church in years. Came in here, and thank you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean this, thank you. Thank you for loving him. Thank you for making him feel welcome. I mean, some of you that were here knew that he had sometimes more than 3 or 4 beers out there.
Yes, sir.
There was a couple services he disrupted the service. Say, are you for the service being disrupted? No. But I'm for reaching sinners. I'm for preaching the gospel. When Ron got saved, he didn't get to go to a Christian school. He didn't grow up in a youth group. He wasn't raised independent fundamental Baptist. You know what? His starting point was different. And you know what, folks? Let's keep that in mind. Not everybody starts the same place. Number one, we fail to consider a person's starting point. Stay with me. Number two, we fail by placing more emphasis on position than direction. Now look right up here. This is a brand new convert I've already described it to you. Still got him? Yep. Yep. All right, there he is. But he's saved. He's learning. Okay, one of these days he's going to hear the right sermons on the right things. Holy Spirit's going to help him and he'll be given us. But right now he's raw. Okay, watch this. This young man has been saved the longest of the three, but he gets up to a place where God wants him to do something and he don't want to do it. And he says, no, I think I've gone far enough. I don't think I can be that. I can think, God, you're asking something I don't want to do or I'm not going to do. And so he turns around like this. And he starts taking small steps this way. Now, just not too far. He hadn't gone very far yet. Watch this. Watch this. I want to help you with something. Good Christian?
Yes, sir.
Face the right direction. Are you willing to take the next step if God shows you? Good Christian? You facing the right direction? You willing to take the next step if God shows you? You willing to take that? He is. Good Christian?
No, sir.
God's mad. God's upset. God's not happy with your life. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Are you telling me that that guy right here, that, I mean, just barely saved and baptized, this guy don't go soul winning, he don't read his Bible, he don't even know how to have a prayer life, he's still got habits that are worldly and wrong, and is he doing everything he knows to do?
Yes,
somebody taught him salvation. He said, I can do that. I want to do that.
They told him, now the Lord wants you to get baptized. Well, if that's what the Lord wants. And he's in learn mode. He's willing. He's open. He just hasn't been here long enough to know a whole lot yet. Good Christian.
Yes, sir.
Good Christian. Watch this. I want to help some of you. Sometimes I wish I could take, I want to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about you that have been saved 20, 30, 40 years. Sometimes I wish I could take a new Christian's spirit and their inside and place it in your separated outside. You know, there's something refreshing about that. Some of you are hard on new converts. I love them. I mean, they'll say some crazy things. They'll do some crazy things, man. They will. You know, I mean, new Christian may go out the back door and say, hey, Pastor, just thought I'd let you know me and my family's going to be at Linton Pool tonight. Would you want to come swim with us?
Yeah.
So what do? I put out pull out my big King James Bible and start screaming at him. No, man. I say, you know what? Not tonight. We're busy, but thank you. Thank you that you want to spend time with us. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, instead, maybe sometime this week, let's have you come over and eat at our house. Folks, they're not even ready for that sermon yet. Okay, those of you that want to stop somebody in the foyer after they've been here for about 3 weeks because you've got your list of things that you're not happy with, will you stop it? Will you leave them alone? Why don't you just be glad they got saved? Why don't you just be glad they got baptized? Okay, Pharisees don't help new converts. Let me say it again. Pharisees don't help new converts. They hurt them. Okay, why don't you remember? Okay, and so, listen, you know, let me tell you a story. You know Johnny Esposito? Was he here last Sunday? Last Sunday, Johnny Esposito, the little short bald guy? He was here last Sunday. I was his roommate his freshman year of college. He'd just been saved out of the gangs. His driver's license that I found laying on the desk had some kid with blonde hair all the way down to here. I said, who's this? He grabbed it. Me? Really? You were kind of pretty. And we got to laughing about this. I mean, here I'm raised, saved at 5 years of age, raised in a preacher's home, surrendered to preach. He's born in Long Beach, California, raised up on the streets and the gangs and all kinds of meanness and nonsense, gets gloriously saved. By the way, I was gloriously saved. He was gloriously saved. He just had a different starting point than I did. He told me that we got to laughing about this stuff, and I'm giving him a hard time about it. He said, I got to tell you this story, and I don't tell anybody this story, but since he told it to me, I'm telling it to you. Especially since he's been telling stories about me, amen. He said, this is terrible. You're going to think I'm awful. Watch this. He said, the night I went into a revival meeting, because somebody, one of my friends invited me, he said, I had blonde hair all the way down to here. He said, man, I was like into drugs. I was into a mess of a life. I came in, sat on the back row. You know, I heard all about this church stuff. And man, he said, that preacher, that evangelist hit salvation, preached on hell, and he said, I fell under such conviction of sin. He said, I busted out of that aisle, came forward and said, I don't know what you're talking about, but all I know is God wants me to do something, and I know I need some help. And they sat down and went through the gospel, and that guy cried out and got saved. And he got up, and he looked at the preacher, and he said, what do I do next? Watch this. This is Johnny's story. What do I do next? The preacher's like, he's in a state of shock because he can't get his regular members to ask the preacher that question. Amen. Amen. I mean, you're already there, right? You've arrived. You don't ever come up and say, preacher, do you see anything that I need to change in my life, honestly? You see something that I could do better at? Is there something that I'm not involved in that I need to be? Why can't I? But new convert, sitting there slobbering and snotting, long blonde hair, says to the preacher, what do you need to do? The preacher's in such a state of shock, he didn't even think about baptism. He just says, well, I guess you need to just go out and tell everybody you can, especially your friends, that you got saved and bring them to the revival tomorrow night. So Johnny said, I got out there, got in my car, and thought, man, I'm going to do it. Where's my friends at? Well, his friends are at the bar. Watch this. Come on. No, this is good for us. He drives to the bar. He's laughing. He's telling me this story. He said, I didn't know nothing. He said, I was so excited.
I went to the bar. All my friends are in there. They're all hollering, "Hey, Johnny." I'm like, "Hey." He's like, "Come on up here, guys." He walks over to the bar, slaps down a couple 20s and says, "Drinks for everybody. I got saved tonight." I'm going to say something, and I want it to shock you. He was being a good Christian. See, are you for drinking? No, you know how I feel about that. You for being in a bar? No, you know how I feel about that. You know what I'm for? You doing everything you know to do. He got into church after that. He sat there. Holy Spirit had time to work on some things, but he only knew this. I got saved, and the preacher said the next thing I need to do is go get my friends, tell them about Jesus, and bring them to church. And guess what he did? He did what he knew to do. Here's the convicting question, veteran Christian. Are we doing what we know to do? Watch this. I want you to think of this guy now being Johnny Esposito. Got the long blonde hair, he's at the bar, and he's standing on a stool telling the people what happened to him tonight as he's buying drinks. Okay, this is raw stuff. This is new Christian stuff. Yeah, he's got a long way to come. Good Christian. Christian school kid. Turn this way. By the way, no long blonde hair. Not been in a bar. Are you listening? Are you getting this? But he's turned his heart against God, and he wants to head back to Egypt. Preacher, is God happy with this young man? Yes. Is God happy with this young man? Yes. Is God mad at this young man? You better believe it. He's ticked off. You know why? Because God doesn't ask a lot for us, but this is what he asked. I want you to stay faithful. By the way, what is it? What does it mean to backslide? Backsliding is simply this. This is backsliding. Watch me. That's it. See, only you know in your heart whether or not your heart's directed towards God or towards the world. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. Good Christian. And by the way, you can't have the cross before you without having the world behind you. Good Christian. But a lot of times this is what happens. All of a sudden, we've got kids that know better that want to turn their heart towards the world, and it's the world, the cross behind me, the world before me. You're not a good Christian. Yeah, but preacher, he's got long blonde hair, and he can pass hair check at the Christian school. Bad Christian, good Christian. Yeah, but he goes on, you're soul winning. This guy's on top of a bar buying people. Bad Christian, good Christian. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want anybody leaving this church saying it's okay to go to a bar. Don't misinterpret or change what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, if this new convert's doing everything they know to do and what they've been taught to this point, and they've got a heart for God and a willingness to take that preacher, I know I'm not everything I need to be, but I want to be. And if you'll be patient with me and if you'll teach me, I'll take whatever the next step is. Then you know what? If you keep that heart and that attitude, you're going to be fine all the way to glory. But what we've got to watch out for in our Christian life is when we get to the point where, you know what? We start comparing ourselves among ourselves. Okay, so this is where this guy gets in trouble sometimes. He wants to feel like he's a good Christian, so he looks backwards at that guy. But by the way, notice what he has to do when he looks backwards. And he says, "Ugh, wow, disgusting, look at that, gross." And I'm so much better than him. You know what? Just what you had to do that made you worse than him. Or here's the truth too, watch this. Sometimes we're not turned around, but we're looking at this guy, and we're like, listen, this is why we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. This is why Paul told the Corinthian church it's not wise to compare yourself among yourself. If you compare yourself to that guy, you're going to get proud and think you've arrived. If you compare yourself to that guy, you're going to get discouraged and think you're never going to be anything. God says, listen, I don't care where everybody else is around you. I want to ask you two things. Are you facing the right direction, and are you willing to take the next step? If you are, you're a good Christian. Some of you Rhode Island kids, listen to me. You're getting ready to go to youth conference. Say, what is a revival about? What's a youth conference about? Why do we go to camp? I'm going to tell you right now what God wants to deal with. Two main things. He wants you to figure out which way you're pointed and get you pointed the right direction if you're not. And if you are, he's going to ask you, are you willing to take the next step? If Brother Paul Chapman can take a group of teenagers, I don't care where you are in the journey. Some of you may be way up here and some may be in the middle. I don't care where you are in the journey. If you can go back to Rhode Island, pointed in the right direction, and excited to take the next step, revival will break out in your youth group. And the same is true for Blessed Old Baptist teenagers. What have we been fighting for about a year? We've got a bunch of kids pointing in the wrong direction. Some of you are facing Egypt, and yet from the outside you look like you're going to Canaan land. But we have also, this is exciting to me, some young men around here that look like they just drug themselves out of Egypt, but buddy, they're facing Canaan land. And you know what? God says, that's a good Christian.
Amen.
So it has nothing to do with your pedigree. It has nothing to do with what your last name is. It has nothing to do with how long or how short you've been in church. God just wants to know two things. Are you pointed in the right direction? And are you willing to take the next step? Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, I would ask that you'd bless, please, our time here together. There may be someone here that's never been saved. We can't be a good Christian until we become a Christian, until we receive Christ as our Savior. So if there's someone here that's never been saved, the blood has not been applied. They have not put their faith in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I pray that they'd be saved today. I would pray, Lord, those that have been saved, that they'd be willing to be baptized, because that's the next step, Lord, of the first step of obedience. I pray after they're baptized, Lord, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to mess up. They're going to fall. They're going to stumble. Sometimes they're going to be saying things they shouldn't, doing things. But I pray, God, every day that they leave the house, they say in their heart, oh God, I want to follow you, and I want to walk in your ways. And I know that I don't know everything, but Lord, if you'll teach me or show me, Lord, if you'll let me go to church Sunday, and if I hear something, and Lord, if you want me to change or do whatever, God, I'll be willing to do it. Lord, I pray that you'd help them keep that attitude, Lord. I'm praying for backslidden young people, and some of the backslidden young people, the honest truth, on the outside look like they're the farthest down the road, and yet they're heading in the wrong direction. Would you convict their heart? There's nothing in Egypt. There's nothing in Egypt except heartache and bondage. There's nothing in Egypt except tears and turmoil. I pray, God, that they'd realize that there's something across Jordan. There's something wonderful that God wants to do with their life, and I pray they'd be willing to do it. Bless the invitation, we pray.